Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Hank. I was just getting my jam on.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Here we go. It's hard to settle into my chair when I want to jump up and dance around. But I guess it's that time of the day where we settle in and take a think. And, you know, today is one of those conversations where I hope I'm talking about something that we all struggle with, or I'm clearly out on my own on a limb with this conversation today. And it's funny because the whole Valentine's show, I mean, today is Tuesday the 14th. It is Valentine's Day. It would be very difficult as a psychotherapist to ignore this day. So the show had to be about Valentine's Day. And it was going to be, you know, just like a standard Valentine's Day or love show where I would talk about, you know, all of those importance of maintaining our love, honoring those that we care most deeply about, knowing each other's love languages and how we know how to love each other or what makes us feel loved. And I was listening to love songs last night, all sorts of different songs to play on the show. And I was kind of going about thinking, oh, this is just another nice Valentine's Day. You know, a lot of people are cynical. You kind of have that look of cynicism on your face, and that's okay. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's just a nice day where, oh, we have a dinner, we, you know, have a glass of wine, and we say yay to love. I hope you're at least say yay to love.
Oh, absolutely. I say yay to love every day, not necessarily just February 14th.
And so I like that, right? There's a comfort in that, the nice card and the flowers, and isn't that lovely? And especially for those of us who have been in relationships for a really long time. So I was feeling the groove, you know, for Valentine's Day as it was. And then I woke up this morning, and everywhere I looked in my house, there was a sticky note that my husband had written something incredibly sweet on. Like little love notes all over. And I see the look on your face. You're like, why are you blowing it for us, dude?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you set this bar? But, you know, my husband of 32 years has a reputation for setting high husband standards. And this was such a surprise because we stayed up late last night and he gets up early for work. You know, he is a working hard kind of guy. And so, you know, he had given me a box of macadamia nut chocolate over the weekend because I had said, oh, macadamia nuts would sound really good. And he happened to have it in, you know, his garage ready to go for today. So I kind of figured Valentine's Day was over after last night. We laughed about the songs and had some macadamia nut chocolate. So to get up this morning, and I showed you one of them, and I realized that because I didn't have my glasses on, that it was actually a little risque when I held it up for you to read.
I thought that was actually a listener comment.
Oh, yeah. Or a note that I was saying to you. But he wrote, you know, just, it was on my notes for the show today. He just said, I love your radio show. And
that's not risque.
No, well, what's after that?
Okay,
is.
that's as far as I read.
Okay, good. But it was all, they're over the house. They're on, you know, my bicycle. I love that you're into biking, and they're on the television. I love that you watch this show, and on my water bottles. I love that you drink a gallon of water. It's like all these little kind of silly things, but added up to just my heart got a flutter in this like really kind of distance past kind of feeling that, you know, got my heart started racing a little bit. My hands got a little sweaty. So everywhere I looked, there was another one. You know, he's left sticky notes in the past, but this was over the top. And it was, you know, I kept finding them. When I got in the car, there was a note. When I went in the closet to get dressed today, there was one on my shoes that said, I love your shoes. And believe me, if you've ever been in my closet near my shoes, you wouldn't love them. And so even that was an act of love. So as you can tell, I'm still feeling this kind of giddy rush. And all of a sudden, my show took a completely different turn. A different energy. I guess the energy was different because I was feeling this kind of excitement that I haven't felt in a long time just by his act of love that was kind of unexpected and different and really heartfelt and must have taken, I don't know what time he got up this morning to wander around the house putting sticky notes on everything. And so I played tennis this morning. And so I went out to play tennis, and I was on the court, and my wise friend, Paul, he always asked me, you know, what's the show today? And I kind of throw it by him. So I ran it down, and I said, you know, I was going to go one direction about standard Valentine's Day, but I'm going in a different direction. The idea is that it's really easy to love people and things and those others who are safe and comfortable and easy to be around, right? It's easy to love your puppies. It's easy to love your, you know, cats. It's easy to love a good cup of tea. It's easy to love your kids for the most part, unconditionally. You know, it's easy to love a good hair day. I mean, it's like it's easy to love your friends when they're on their best behavior. It's easy to love anyone when they're being easy. But in reality, it's a real act of courage to love someone who doesn't have to love you back. It's a real act of courage to really open yourself up to love someone who you choose to be with. Because in that act of courage of opening up, you have to have faith that the other person will open up back to you. And when you're with someone a really long time, it's easy to get laissez-faire or just kind of not dismissive, but a little humdrum about that love. It just becomes this assumed thing. Oh, yeah, we love each other, right? You're like a comfortable shoe. You're like a great jacket. You're like a warm blanket. You're safe and you're comfortable and you're easy to be around. But what's really courageous is to love someone with passion that you've chosen to be with and really put yourself out there. Maybe with expectations for feeling that love back, but maybe not. And it takes the most courage to jump in there and show your heart and be vulnerable the longer you've been together, because you've been through so much together and you've kind of seen your warts and all that, you know, that way we idealize each other when we're young and in love, the way we hold each other in pedestals and you don't see the flaws or the bumps or the warts, right? You just are in love with the idea of love. But when you've been with someone for 36, 38 years, 20 years, and you've been through junk and you've seen stuff, to be able to still see each other through those rose-colored, idealized eyes in a way that you express your passion, that takes courage. That takes courage. And my wise friend Paul looks at me and he says, why would being vulnerable be such a great asset? Why would anyone want to be vulnerable? Why would that be something that people would aspire to do, to open themselves now? Why would that be something that you would consider an asset or a courageous act? And I think it's because ultimately to be vulnerable, to be exposed, is really scary. There's a chance you're going to be hurt, a chance you're going to be wounded or scarred in some way. You know, it's a huge leap of faith to be vulnerable. But in that moment of vulnerability, you're incredibly alive. Your heart is pounding, your hands are sweating, your mouth is dry, you're alive, you're fully engaged in the world around you, much like jumping off a cliff or out of a plane or in a near car accident. You know, any of those times where we've had other moments where we're completely vulnerable and unprotected, where we could be hurt or injured, right? But that thrill of going fast downhill or completing a race or any of those things that we do in our life, right, that make us feel a little bit anxious and scared and is how we feel alive. That's why risk takers, you know, do the things they do, because they want to feel their heart pound in their chest. That there's something comfortable about the day-to-day, but it's that moment of feeling like you may die that we feel most alive and that makes life worth living. And so it's courageous to be vulnerable and to take a chance to feel totally alive with that person that you've been in a relationship with for a long time, and to try to be vulnerable together in such a way where you feel that kind of dry mouth excitement, what's going to happen, anticipation. And it's so miraculous to feel that many years into it. So the other reason I'm a little breathless is because I was so inspired by my husband's act of courageous love this morning that I decided I need to run around and show him I'm feeling the same way. So I ran to Madonna Inn and I got a coconut cake for him. And I ran and got his favorite soups for lunch. And I got some chocolates. And I went home and I took a shower and I drove to his work, which is about 40 minutes from our house. I got all dressed. I'm wearing pink and white. And or I guess it's red and white. And I drove all the way to his office the whole way there, you know, wondering, I hope he's there. That would be awkward. to show up with all the food and nothing. But I just wanted to surprise him. And the whole way there, my heart was kind of racing. Like I felt like I did when we were kids, when I would do something kind of spontaneous or that kind of rush of wondering, will he like me back the whole way? Will he be surprised? And it was so fun to get there and surprise him. And he was nervous and awkward and surprised and didn't quite know what to say either, which was made it even more fun because I think there's part of me that just likes to make my engineer husband a little uncomfortable. So there was fun in that. And because I had to come back and do the show, it was literally a drop off in happy Valentine's Day, I love you, and then kind of racing all the way back here to the studio. So here I am, kind of excited for what the rest of the day holds and excited to be with you for this hour talking about the courageous acts of love and how this is a great day, Valentine's Day, to take that chance. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can be part of the conversation at 805-781-3875. What does your Valentine's Day look like? Is it the same old, same old? Is it going to be a little dangerous or different? Or are you just not going to pay attention at all? And, you know, it's interesting because when I do the show, I try to make it so open-ended that everyone can somehow feel touched by the topic. But today I'm really feeling strongly about nurturing those long-term relationships that can get really comfortable and feel like a comfortable coat. And how do we keep them inspired? How do we keep that part of our life inspired? Because as nice as it is to feel comfortable, as nice it is to have the predictability, I know what to expect, I've been with this person for a really long time, as nice as it is to have that sense of forever with someone, there's something almost too complacent in it, right? That we run the risk of getting bored or getting into that rut of life starting to feel a little bit like one day rolls into the other, and that you find yourself, you know, the only time you're excited is when you, you know, do a zip line in Hawaii on vacation once every 5 years, or, you know, the highlight of your life was a great meal you had, you know, 6 months ago at an expensive restaurant. It's like when we've gotten to a place where the things that are really exciting happen few and far between, are we really still living? Or are we just kind of biding our time until the end of our time? And that this heat and this passion for life, you know, that we crave for in our activities and in our knowledge and in our being, how do we translate into our relationships, especially in a culture that likes us to believe that unless you're young and beautiful and fit, no one else is worthy of that kind of love and attention and vulnerability or passion, right? That's really only reserved for the rich and the young and the famous, and it ends very rapidly. But the interesting part of that story is that it's made up. It's a social context. It's a social construct that the media has sold us so that we'll keep buying things to hopefully maintain our youth. But the truth is, when they look at research of couples who've been married for years and years and years, there's still quite a bit of romantic love and passion that exists in couples that would identify themselves as still happily married and maybe ecstatically married. And about one third of longevous marriages, those are marriages that are 50 years and longer, a third of those couples still identify themselves as ecstatically or happily married. And so we know that it's possible, but we quite often buy into the story that it goes away, that it just becomes comfortable and a companion type relationship, and we shouldn't expect more. And when we buy into that, we fall into the comfortable shoe routine. 805-781-3875. You can also send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com or find us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org, and you can always podcast our show through iTunes, A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. So when we look at research, we'll stay in the professor mode for a minute. John Gottman and his wife have been on the forefront of doing studies of couples, trying to determine how couples stay together or what couples will stay together based on their interactions, based on how they communicate, how they deal with arguments. And the Gottman Institute, John Gottman's work, he has perfected it so much, his ability to identify struggle points in couples, that he, and this is according to his research, that they have a 99% success rate in being able to identify couples that will stay together or get divorced. And I've always been fascinated by his work because he kind of breaks down the life of couples in really simple and easy to understand terms, and in a way kind of nudge those who might think it's too hard to maintain an intimate relationship, nudges them a little bit to realize that it's not that hard. It just takes a little time and a little bit of sensitivity. And let's hear from John Gottman what he says about what it takes to make love last.
You can really build romance, passion, and lasting love. It's a choice to really cherish your partner. And if your partner really is the right person for you, you know, you have to actively cherish your partner's positive qualities and think in your mind how fortunate you are to have this person in your life, and let her know that she's really that special. And if both people do that with one another, then a relationship can last forever.
You know, it's interesting because when I have done couples work in the past, when couples are tired, because there is this sense of burnout, right? You've chosen to be with this person, and unlike a blood relationship where, you know, you're in it forever, thick and thin, or with a pet that's just cute and cuddly, with our intimate relationships, it takes effort. You have to bring your higher self as often as you can. And couples who have kind of lost that intimacy or that connection quite often will say, wow, forever is a really long time. That this idea that we can have a relationship for the rest of our life almost feels tiring. And it's really amazing to see when couples kind of reignite that sense of excitement for each other. And it doesn't have to be grand, huge overtures, right? It can be simple things. It can be a house full of sticky notes. When we reignite that, how all of a sudden time feels like it's flying by, that we don't have enough time. Because remember when you were young, and I'm smiling at you, Brie, because you're so young.
And, so young, yes.
And so wonderful, right? And everything is opportunities that are coming your way. You know, it's all still potential.
More or less.
More or less, unless you're already in a long-term relationship. But when you're young, time flies by. It feels like everything's happening so quickly that, you know, you meet people and you fall madly in love. And that is that roller coaster of love where you go into that chemical component of, you know, your dopamine releases, which makes you feel completely ecstatic and excited to be with someone, which releases the testosterone in, you know, our bodies that release that sex drive. And there's that heat and that passion that moves into, you know, all these other chemical reactions that go off in our body that stimulate us to continue wanting to be in that relationship. We love the way they smell. We love the way they look. You know, the days just fly by. And it's all potential. Where are we going to go with this? And then that attachment comes and you feel bonded to the other person with that oxytocin and vasopressin that comes from orgasm and how magnificent that is. And then as that relationship gets comfortable, and I keep using that, you know, that safe space, that place that so many people want to get to. I can't wait till I get out of the combustible part of my relationship. I can't wait for this relationship to just kind of settle down and we just get into a routine and we watch our Netflix and, you know, we have our kids. I can't wait to get there. And then before you know it, that couch starts to become like a cemetery where you're just kind of there every day and nothing else really changes. And then it becomes long days that roll into the other and that passion runs away. And so I wonder, when you're 25, do you, you know, believe that love can last forever, or does it just feel like hooey?
Is that a question for me or just in general?
I guess in general, since you're answering, yeah. You know, do you believe that you'll find someone and that feeling lasts forever, or are you a cynic?
I go through moments of both, definitely. I don't know. I got out of a relationship probably about 8 months ago. That was a kind of a long-term relationship, and we knew each other since we were 14, you know, and I believed it then, but I don't know. I go back and forth about it now. It's I want to keep up hope, and there's moments of optimism, and there's a lot of moments of pessimism too. So I don't know. You have to like maintain it.
Yeah, and there is that sense of, you know, but how do we maintain it? And as I open the show, this idea of acts of courage, it's an act of courage to throw your heart out to your intimate partner, to stay vulnerable, to stay open. Because if you've been in a relationship long enough, you've hurt each other. You know, you've said things that are wounding. You've said things that are painful. You've done things to each other that are hard to overlook. You know, and if you've been around long enough, the wounds and the band-aids and the scars are there and easy to tap into. The challenge is, you know, how do we continue to stay open and vulnerable and awake to love when there are these other things that would be easy to focus on? And so I think part of, you know, kind of that, how do we stir that love potion up in older, you know, relationships and even younger relationships, wherever you are with it. Of course, music is always where I go to, and it's been a shared passion with my husband and I. And so half the fun of putting the show together each week is kind of thinking of the songs that go along with it. And so I thought to keep greasing the skids, if that's the right word, or keep the, I don't know if that's the right one, to keep that love sense flowing, that we kind of hear some tunes today that kind of bring up the mood, or at least will keep my mood and spirit and energies up. So let's hear from Anita Baker.
Let me start by talking about
that would be
what it is.
Well, that would be John Gottman talking about it again. So do we have Anita Baker?
One second.
All righty. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. Where are you on this whole love thing? Did I come in with way more energy than anyone was expecting? Are you feeling that same kind of enthusiasm or excitement today or any day for your long-term relationship, for your intimate partners? Do you know how to reignite that sense of excitement when you see each other, that kind of kiss that makes your heart beat hard, and or have you let that go? And what's that like? Because I often find myself thinking, wow, if I live for another 30 years, I would hate to think that for 30 more years, I would never feel that kind of flush of excitement in being with someone that I feel romantic towards or passion for. And maybe it's because I work on a college campus, and so I'm surrounded by the hormones and the excitement and the young love all the time. But I don't know. I don't think it's just me. You know, I read enough research studies about older couples and long-term love to know that there are people doing the work. But you have to steal the time to do the work, because our lives have gotten more filled with noise, right? It's easy to spend all night watching Netflix. You don't have to watch one show and wait another week to see the next show. You can lose days and days watching shows. We have our devices. We have our phones. We can text. We can Snapchat. We can Skype. We can do a lot of things to distract ourselves from the work of staying engaged and intimate with those we love. And as I said earlier, music's part of the way we kind of bring that mood about.
To you, I will.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and today we're talking about Valentine's Day and love. And beyond just the typical Valentine's Day is, hey, it's important to honor those you love. It's important to take a moment to, you know, tap into your heart. It's good for our soul. It's good for those you love. It's good for our mental health and well-being. You know, we were not meant to be isolated individuals. We were meant to be in communion, in community, to be connected and tied to others in our lives. And as I said at the top of the show, it's easy to love those who are easy to be with. It's easy to love cute, cuddly pets. It's easy to love a good cup of coffee. It's easy to love a good meal. It's easy to love our yard when it's in full bloom and as green as it is today. But it is more challenging. It is an act of courage to stay passionately engaged and in love and connected to that person who is your most intimate relationship. You have that most intimate relationship with. That's someone who doesn't have to love you back. You know, divorce has become a common part of our cultural story. And what starts that common cultural story is we fell out of love. But if you look at statistics, you never really fall out of love. It doesn't just disappear. It doesn't just evaporate out of your system. You stop working that love. You stop putting time into that love. The love gets complacent. Couples get bored. What was fun, once a fun routine, a day-to-day predictability that you could count on, becomes kind of a dry, arid desert. And it's easy to get attracted to another shiny light or some other opportunity. And so in a culture that doesn't really encourage or support long-term relationships, doesn't really nurture or make space for those couples that need time together or want time together, we stay busy all day long. We're told that we should have interests outside of our marriage and money set aside in case the relationship goes sour. We spend a lot more time preparing people for breaking up than we do for preparing people to stay together. We spend very little time talking about how to forgive and how to keep your eye on those things that matter. And let's just be honest here for a moment. Menopause messes up long-term relationships because everything changes. And you know what I'm saying, ladies, and you know what I'm saying, guys. You know, you hit midlife a little older and you're a little tired and your body changes and things don't happen as quickly as they used to when you were young. And so it takes a little more time and energy to become intimate, right? To find that passion, to find the energy to want to have sex. Remember what that was? And that takes more time the older you get. It feels just as good, if not better, than it did when you were young because you have that intimacy and you have that maturity. But it does take more patience and it takes more love for each other to stay with that and to kind of get back into the mood. And so menopause does not help that nurturing a long-term relationship. And then again, you have the cultural message that says, hey, after that, after menopause, you're all washed up. And so people buy it and give up and we move on. But if you understand the science of love, if you care to understand the science of love, that part of the magic of the orgasm that comes from sexual intimacy, I almost did my Ruth Westheimer imitation just then, for those of you who are really older and know that reference. But the magic of the orgasm is that you release vasopressin if you're a male and oxytocin if you're a female, and those are bonding hormones. That's why you have a little spring in your step the morning after, because you have that sense of connectedness with that person you care most deeply about. You know, you feel more attached, you feel bonded, you feel a renewed sense of commitment. And so that's why experiencing intimacy together is so important in maintaining those bonds and connection. But I understand, you know, that when our bodies change and our life gets busy, or we start to kind of look at each other and like, oh, it's you again. I know how you smell. I know what you look like. Yeah. That it's easy to get complacent and let it slide. And then it's harder to find your way back. And so part of the work of Valentine's Day today, part of your assignment, is to tap into yourself and wonder, Are you allowing yourself to be vulnerable anymore to anyone, not just your intimate partner, but to those in your life that you care about? Have we become so jaded and hard-hearted as a culture? You know, with all that's going on in the world, it's so easy to close our hearts. Right now, it'd be really easy to become completely, fully cynical, to be completely angry and discouraged and to believe in nothing. And a lot of people are feeling hopeless and depressed. So it's more important than ever for our mental health and well-being to be able to step away from the day-to-day struggles of what's happening in the culture around us and to focus in on those things that are right in front of us, that relationship that's right in front of us, that with some love and tenderness could come around. Because here's the sneaky little secret about marriage and long-term relationships and history with each other, that you can get into a negative pattern of behavior, right? Where if you're not going to try, I'm not going to try. It's going to be another Valentine's Day. We'll just do the standard old card and bottle of wine, you know, same old thing. You can get into that and kind of stay there. But if one person changes the story, if one person throws a twist into the relationship, does something unexpected, something different, like my husband putting sticky notes all over my entire life today, that one unexpected thing can ignite that new sense in the couple. It only takes one person in the couple to ignite it too. And then that positive spiral starts to happen. The one nice thing begets another nice thing where you start to feel really good about each other. And who knows where you can go from there. So today, I guess I'm talking about love by myself.
I'm here too.
I'm glad you're here too. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. We're mixing in this question about the courage to be vulnerable and to open ourselves to love. And what are you doing to nurture relationships, or have you given up on it, or do you need a little nudge, a little idea? I'm happy to throw out love encouragements. I have lots of ideas of how to spark intimacy in the relationship. Then don't forget the soundtrack, because all good love affairs have a good soundtrack. And so we're going to keep busy with our soundtrack today. You're listening to Public Radio KCBX. Ain't no mountain high enough, Bree.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high. Ain't no valley low. Ain't no river wide.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. We're talking about Valentine's Day and the courage to love another and to open our hearts and to pay attention to that what's right in front of us, looking for just a little nurturing. You know, a great analogy is the connection between the seven-year drought that we have seen some relief from, and relationships, right? That if you looked at how our countryside was for the last 6 years, just brown and dry and aching for attention or water or some sort of moisture, right? That everything had gone dormant, that it made my heart hurt to drive across the country and see just how parched and arid everything had become. And how amazing everything feels with the wet weather we've had in the last couple months, where everything is green and alive and beautiful and thriving and full of potential. I mean, that in itself is what happens in relationships, that we can go through long, arid spells, but with just enough watering, right, a little care and tender and nurturing, you can bring back that full, lush, green experience of being with another. But it takes effort. It takes a little courage. 805-781-3875. Is this Burren?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind today?
Well, my husband and I are actually from Montana. We've been coming to the area for about 4 years every winter, and we always tune into your program because we just find you so inspirational.
Thank you.
And today is the 34th anniversary of our first kiss, and we've been together ever since. And we came down to the beach to celebrate Valentine's today to get out of the normal rut. We decided to listen to your program while we sat here.
Well, thank you. And so what do you think keeps the magic for you? What are some things that you do to kind of, besides coming to the Central Coast, which I think is always inspirational, but in your day-to-day in Montana, are there things that you do after 34 years?
Well, I know that my husband said he wakes up every single day and thinks, how can I make our relationship more fun and better? And he's just the most creative person I've ever met, so he makes it really fun. And, you know, we just keep our eye on being positive and trying to reinvent ourselves and do new things. And now that the kids are all grown up, it's been really fun.
Yeah, there's kind of that renewed opportunity for the oneness of your relationship, right, without the distraction of the kids. And in some ways, it can be hard at the beginning because it is just the two of you and you've gotten used to having a group love affair. And to go back to just the two of you.
Yeah, we wondered how that was going to be because when we first met, we each had children. And so we've never been alone until about 5 years ago. And so we had a happy surprise.
And so what are you looking forward to for the next 5 years of your relationship? Do you plan out at all? Do you think about how will we keep this magic going?
Definitely. We create, every year we try to sit down and create a master plan. So we have like a 1 year plan, a 2 year plan, a 5 year plan. And I'm going to actually put my husband on this one because he wants to talk too.
Okay, thank you, Bern. See, now there's, I wish they were in my office so I could give them great praise for the proactiveness of their couple relationship, because those are the kind of things that a lot of people don't make time for because it seems kind of silly. Hi, this is Bern.
Hi, this is Phil.
Are you Phil?
Yes.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
So what's on your mind? What did you want to add to this conversation?
I think it most importantly, and I tell this to our kids, and I tell all the other couples that we're with, I'm so madly in love with her after 34 years. I'm excited for the next however long. I don't know what we have given to us, but every morning I wake up and I try to figure out how to renew our marriage and our relationship and make it really fun for her. Make it really fun for me and exciting. And it's only because, you know, we've already been through all the transitional battlegrounds in our life that we finally, I don't know, hit a stride where, okay, we know how to live life. Let's live it to the fullest by being with each other the fullest we can be. So.
Well, and that's beautifully said, and I want to wish you a happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for being regulars to the show. I appreciate that, too. And also, thank you for being an inspiration and a reminder that it is a choice. You know, as I said earlier, that quite often people say, well, we just fell out of love. The love just died, and it never just dies. Things have to happen for it to wither away, you know, just as in the drought, without rain to moisture, you know, without that moisture to nurture the soil dries up and the plants die. It's the same with our relationships, that we have to choose every day to water and nurture that relationship. My husband and I have a plant that's in our bedroom that started off as just a house plant we bought probably for $1, you know, when we first got married. And it's been next to our bed. Now it actually is so large, it takes a spot in the middle of the bedroom. But it's been with us for 36 years. And what's interesting about this plant is that it has little rings around it. So there's actually a ring for every year that we've been together. And so that plant is really symbolic of our relationship. And it takes tender care and nurturing, especially after all these years, because it's a little fragile having been around this long. And so there are all these ways we can choose to ignite that spark of our relationship Someone has to make the intention to ignite it. And there are ways that we can just let it go and hope that it maintains on its own. And if it doesn't work out, there is that cultural attitude of, oh, well, I guess it's on to another relationship. But there's something really beautiful about the longevity of a partnership that can still be surprising. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. As I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, I was going to do a standard Valentine's Day show because it's Valentine's Day. And so how could I ignore it? You're not a therapist if you ignore the importance of love in relationships, in our mental health and our physical health. Our hearts respond positively to that sensation of being loved and nurtured and cared for. So I was going to do that standard love show. I was going to remind you all that this idea that we need to love ourselves before we can love anyone else is a bunch of hooey. It's almost impossible to fully ever love ourselves without any doubt. And if we waited until we fully loved ourselves unconditionally to love anyone else, we'd be ancient or near the end of our lives. Because usually the closer you get to the end of your life, the more you realize if I don't love myself now, when? Nothing else really magic happens. And so John Gottman, who I mentioned earlier, and his wife talk about in their work that waiting until you totally love yourself is not going to work in your favor, that quite often we find that capacity to love ourselves through the eyes and nurturing and love of another. As I mentioned again earlier in the show, that the sticky notes are the theme of today's show, the fact that my husband did something unexpected, and all of these little notes are simple things that he recognized that I love to drink water, or that he loves that I do this show. Just little sticky notes, nothing over the top. But those little reminders of what he sees and loves in me has given me today this sense of validation or love for myself that I kind of needed right now. And the timing was wonderful. And I'm feeling such love from him that it's easy for me to emanate back to him all the love I feel. And when we look at our relationships, if we take the time to put our partner first and our partner puts us first, then we're both going to end up getting our needs met, right? If we both are looking out for the other person, if we both want what's best for the other person, then we're both going to end up getting our needs met in profound ways. But we get into trouble when we start to feel hurt or wounded by our partner, and then we pull back and we start thinking about ourselves and what we're not getting and what we need. And once we start focusing on ourselves, both partners in the relationship retreat from each other, and it makes it difficult to come together. 805-781-3875. Hi, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell you that I've been listening to you while I was driving, and I've been married for 46 years to the same woman, actually. And I appreciate some of the generalities that you make. I just heard some specifics as I was on hold, but I wanted to share just some Bible verses. A lot of people don't look to the Bible. I'm not going to tell you the exact scriptures because I don't have my Bible in front of me. But the principles are what you're talking about, but these are the definite places to go. There's one scripture that says, in showing honor to one another, take the lead. You just talked about that.
Yes, I did.
There's another one that says, consider others superior to yourself. Corinthians says to freely forgive, and that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And then earlier you talked about menopause, and there's a scripture that actually says that husbands should dwell with their wife according to knowledge so that their prayers are not hindered. And basically that means we have to understand our wives. We have to understand different years or different times of month or whatever the case might be. And this one final scripture that I thought was really important shows the necessity of trying to work things out right away. There's a scripture that says, don't let the sun set on you in a provoked state, which means we should try to resolve our problems as soon as possible.
Beautiful.
Maybe not overnight, but,
but as
I
soon
appreciate
as possible.
Everything you said. I just wanted to throw out, because I thought a lot of your points are generalities, but the Bible is very specific about how to show love to your wife.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because having some sort of foundation that we build our relationship on, whether it's the Bible or whether it's a shared passion for something or whether it's a shared belief or commitment to something, really is essential for the longevity of marriages, for the success of relationships. And also, you know, when we talked about John Gottman and his ability to kind of predict the success of relationships, he talks about kind of the secret magic ratio in relationships that is really important in keeping the positivity or the connection in marriages. Let's hear from John Gottman.
Let me start by talking about what it is we learned that allows us to predict divorce or stability with very high accuracy. The first thing we found was that if you take a look at the ratio of positive stuff during conflict, things like interest, asking questions, being nice to one another, being kind, being affectionate, being empathetic, and you look at all the negative stuff like criticism, hostility, anger, hurt feelings, and you take the ratio of positive to negative, in relationships that stay together, that ratio turns out to be 5 to 1. There's 5 times as many positive things going on in relationships that work as negative. So that's an interesting equation. And it sort of suggests that if you do something negative to hurt your partner's feelings, you know, that you have to make up for it with 5 positive things. So the equation is not balanced in terms of positive and negative. Negative has a lot more ability to inflict pain and damage than positive things have to heal and bring you closer. Now, the couples who wound up divorced, that ratio was 0.8 to 1. So there was a little more negativity than positivity in couples who were heading for divorce.
And that's the words and wisdom of John Gottman in his work with couples and long-term relationships, or just in any length of time of a relationship. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 805-781-3875. And we're talking about the courage to maintain intimacy and passion and connection in our relationships, even in those relationships that are challenging. And especially on a day like Valentine's Day, where it's easy to kind of get into that rut, that same old thing, that comfort, that thing that feels familiar and predictable. But when we're in that place of predictability, when we no longer are vulnerable or open, we're no longer really feeling that sense of being alive. You know, that sense of vulnerability when you leap off a diving board, or, you know, you're racing down a hill, or you've tried something for the first time, that sense of truly being alive and excited and open to the world. Well, that's what this vulnerability in our marriages and our relationships can be. Then when we take a leap going out of the unexpected, do something different, that is our opportunity to feel alive and awake to the person we're spending our life with. Then that beauty of our sexual intimacy, that moment of orgasm, is that full alignment with being alive and awake. 805-781-3875. Hi, Anne. Thanks for waiting. Oh, nope. We're not going to Anne. We will pass on. 1 minute. Thank you, Bray. We are talking about those acts of courage and how do we make things more special when it seems like you're the only one that's trying. That comes up a lot in marriage counseling, that one person feels like they're doing all the work or making all the effort in the relationship, and that they get tired and they feel like they don't want to keep putting into it because they get nothing back. And so how do you kind of reignite that passion when you feel like you're the only one? What is that first step you can take? And my advice to that is to do something unexpected. If you've been trying something the same way for weeks or months or years, and you keep getting the same response and you're not moving forward, do something unexpected. Do something different. Do something that surprises not just your partner, but yourself. Do something that you would have never thought you were capable of doing. And even if your partner doesn't awaken to the magic of that unpredictability, you will feel that sense of being alive. You will feel that sense of being awakened in a way that makes you feel more engaged in the world around you. And that's really what we're looking for. We don't just want to wait to die. We want to feel alive as often as possible. Hi, Anne. Thanks for waiting. Now you're on the air.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. I just want to mention it's been 61 years.
Congratulations.
So, yep. So add another 31 onto those 30 or where you guys are. And wonderful as ever. So there's certainly ups and downs over all the many years, but that's what marriage is all about. So.
And do you have a Valentine's Day tradition?
You know, we don't. And my husband's been pretty ill with that awful flu bug for the last 10 days or so. And so this morning we kind of, I think I remembered first and said, whoops, happy Valentine's Day. And he was going out and I said, don't even think about worrying about anything today. And we both laughed. And so, no, we don't. We've always just done cards and maybe something special, but anyway, you don't always have to have that special day because it's what the years are about.
Absolutely. Know? No, I hear you. I just think it's fun to hear after 61 years that you still even bother to get the card, because I think some people just kind of accept it and let it go. But Anne, thank you for taking the time to call. And Nora, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to thank you for the way that you're handling the show, because instead of just coming from a purely romantic angle, I appreciated what some of the guests were saying, too, like the man who spoke about the scriptures in the Bible having to do with treating the other person, you know, like with a lot of respect, I guess you could say. And I really appreciated some of that input, because that's going to make for a longer-term relationship that gets you through the rough times as well as the good times.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a balance of both things. We have to have trust and respect for each other, right? We have to put that relationship in that other first. And when we have that foundation of trust and respect, it makes it easier to tap into the romantic or the passion or, right, that intimacy. Because if you have that foundation of trust, it's a little easier to be vulnerable. It's a little easier to open yourself and take a chance on being hurt or, you know, even embarrassed. Because sometimes the funnest things that happen in relationships happen when we're completely embarrassed in front of each other. And if you've been together long enough, sometimes it's hard to even, you know, remember when it was the last time you laughed together about something silly. And so that having that sense of safety and security makes us sometimes more confident in taking chances.
So I wanted to thank you for this show and to let you know that I listen often and I always love the way you handle the topic.
Well, I heartily appreciate that, and I'm going to take it to heart, Nora. And I wish you a beautiful day.
Thank you.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And as I said, you know, music is kind of the soundtrack, or that soundtrack, that music that kind of goes along with each show is always important to me. And especially in putting together this show, because I think music can really set the mood for where you want to be. You know, you can play dance music if you want to feel kind of revved up. You can play kind of sullen music if you want to tap into the deeper emotions. But when it comes to love music, you know, I just like that kind of sense of flow that makes me feel romantic in the mood. And I'm hoping that that's where we're going. So you too has a jam that I want to share. You want love to work out right, to last with me through the night. You say you want diamonds and a ring of gold, your story to remain untold, your love not to grow. And that's You Too and All I Want Is You. You know, I've used the word jam now probably 3 times, and I have no idea where that came from. And I know that my daughters are both probably secretly laughing at me behind my back, but I don't care, because I'm feeling such kind of giddiness about the day and Valentine's Day and the act of love and the courageous act of loving another person today that I can take a little teasing. That's fine. But I want to kind of close things up today talking about moving forward in our relationships, moving forward in our intimacy, allowing ourselves to be open and vulnerable, to encourage you to step aside from the negativity that's so easy to get caught up into, the messages that we see on television, in the media, in books. You know, they are out there to sell you products or to sell you books. And this idea that, you know, most relationships are doomed to fail isn't true. Our divorce rate is actually lower than it's been in 60 years, that romance dies after a certain amount of time. That isn't true. Research shows that there are plenty of couples who enjoy intimacy and romance well into their later years. And this idea that, you know, we shouldn't be too vulnerable with our partner because we'll end up getting hurt, that somehow our goal in life is to protect our hearts from ever feeling sadness or pain. But unless we feel that sadness and pain, we can never really understand and experience the sense of joy and ecstasy that's possible on the other side. That love is a roller coaster, that if we allow ourselves to ride it, we're going to experience great periods of passion and great periods of sorrow, that there'll be time in our lives where we can't even believe that we're waking up another day with the same person and having to look them in the eye. And then just as quickly that changes and you look over at your partner and you think, I can't imagine ever waking up and not having you here. But we have to have faith in our relationships. We have to have faith in each other, and we have to have the courage to step out of our comfort zone and be vulnerable to the world, to being alive, be vulnerable to the near-death experience of taking a chance, of having our heart pound, of having our hands be sweaty, of feeling awakened to all the possibilities around us. And this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can find our show at kcbx.org or follow us on iTunes. As always, I appreciate supporting Public Radio KCBX. This is for you, my love.
Like a secret garden, as I shuffle through this broken town, think of you and you are all around me, like the sky when the sun's going down. I wanna tell the whole wide world, see how love can light your soul. But you are like my secret garden, and I wanna be with you alone. Hold me, hold tight, 'cause the road can be a crazy ride, and I know we're gonna be alright, 'cause you are here with me. Oh, woman, it's so right, and even if the oceans divide us, I will be here right by your side for the rest of our days, here for the rest of our days. If you are tired, I'll bear your burden. If you're dreaming, I will not disturb you. Whatever your heart desires, when love, love, I'll clear the way for you. Come winter, I will build you a fire from the bones of who I used to be. Before you came and washed the weary away, before you came here for me. Oh, man, it's so right, every day and every night, by the fire with the snow outside and the two of us. Oh, child, hold tight. If it gets to be a crazy ride, I'll be here right by your side for the rest of our days. Oh, for the rest of our days. This crazy ride, hold on and we'll be alright, me and you and me. Ah, here you come, you bring me real love, from the ground beneath to the stars above. I was going down but now I'm growing up, you are my blood. Oh yeah, it is.